Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, maybe I could not have picked more apropos song than "That's Just the Way It Is." Here on Dana and Parks, story here from NBC News. Entire neighborhoods in Tehran are emptying out as Israel and Iran exchange a barrage of missile and drone strikes. Those who remain in Iran's capital are mostly staying indoors. It is a city, I believe, of 8 million people. Quoting here from a woman by the name of Seema, who lives in Tehran. "Most people in my neighborhood have left their homes. Shops are closed because no one wants to be in the streets, and people are scared."
Dr. Rebecca Best is on speed dial when issues of international imports come before us to help. I would not even say facilitate the discussion here. You are going to lead it and have it, and we can take questions on the text line at 913-586-7798. It is always so good to have you here because I love the way you explain things, especially with conflicts that date back so far. So where do we start with this one?
Thanks, Dana. I think we probably need to go back to 1953. So Iran is an autocracy. I think most people are aware of that. They have elections, but ultimately power is concentrated in the hands of the Ayatollah, and the election competition is very severely restricted. But in 1953, Iran had a democratic government. They had a popular elected prime minister. And that prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, had proposed to nationalize Iran's oil industry, which was largely owned by UK interests at the time. So this was very popular domestically, but as you might imagine, not very popular in the United Kingdom. And the United States was also worried. This is the height of the Cold War, so the United States is really worried that that Iran is going to fall to communism. And so the United States and the United Kingdom work together to basically foment a coup in Iran that brings back to power the autocratic royal family that had previously been overthrown. So they bring back the royal family under Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. And this is a very friendly regime. It's not particularly popular domestically in Iran, but it's very friendly to U.S. interests. And so the United States and Iran are on good terms when in 1967, under the U.S. Adams for Peace program, the United States provides Iran with its first research reactor, nuclear research reactor.
We provided that.
We did, yes.
Wow.
There are a lot of non-weapons, non-military applications for enriched uranium, and so that is part of, you know, the justification for Iran's continued enrichment of uranium. There are medical applications and, sure, and things that kind of go beyond my purview.
Yep.
So I'll stay away from that a little bit. And then in 1979, of course, the Shah flees the country and is overthrown in the Iranian Revolution. And ultimately, that revolution, which was really broadly popular and had many segments of society, it was not strictly an Islamist revolution. It was a broad popular revolution. But ultimately, the person who rises to power from that is an Islamist leader, Ayatollah Khomeini. And in the ensuing decades, right, Iran has backed many different Arab and Islamist groups in the Middle East. This revolution also, of course, has a lot of the sort of seeds of the conflict between Iran and Israel in it, because Israel, again, is sort of as an ally of the United States, backed the autocratic regime that mm-hmm. the United States had really helped to bring to power. And I think Iran never really quite forgave that. And there's some other sort of issues. But Iran begins really heavily backing these different terrorist groups and is also, of course, working to enrich uranium. Now, in recent years, Iran's many of its proxies, what are often called the sort of community of both Iranian proxies, which are, you know, things like Hezbollah and Hamas, as well as more friendly regimes, the axis of resistance, what Iran, you know, it's referred to as Iran's axis of resistance, has been severely weakened in recent years. So that has contributed to the timing of this.
Pagers will do that.
Right. Yes. So I think you kind of had wanted me to talk a little bit about why now.
Well, yeah? Before I continue with that, let me ask you this. Prior to 1979, was Iran so anti-Israel?
No.
They weren't allies necessarily, but they weren't such incredible adversaries.
Yeah, so prior to 1979, the regime in Iran, you know, in that period, certainly between 53 and 79, that's that period when Israel is aligned with the United States and Iran is aligned with the United States. I don't know a whole lot about Iran.
It's hard to believe that now.
In that period, but yeah. So that's not to say that the Iranian people loved Israel, right? The Iranian people. It's hard to know exactly how they felt, because Iran was not a democracy in that period. So
they'll tell you how you feel.
Yes.
but the Iranian people are largely considered, outside of their very strident, uber-religious, autocratic leaders, a very cosmopolitan, modern, dare I say, hip group of people. Very middle class. They're not horribly poor.
Right.
The country has lots of money. And their people are well-educated, as I mentioned, cosmopolitan, and very modern.
Yeah. And you kind of see that again, as I mentioned, like the Iranian Revolution was not an Islamist revolution. It had a lot of Islamist factions in it, but it was a broad revolution. So you saw university students, you saw women's groups, all banding together in opposition to the Shah. But ultimately, you know, the faction that really comes to power in the wake of that revolution, unfortunately, is this extreme Islamist faction.
So bring us to today then. And why now? And also, what now?
Okay. Yeah, good questions. So as for the why now, I think there are a lot of factors. This is something that Benjamin Netanyahu has wanted for a long time. And so again, just as I think it's very challenging to talk about what Iran wants, you know, we can talk about what the Iranian regime wants, but that doesn't necessarily reflect the people, because just like in that period before the 79 revolution, Iran is still not a democracy.
Right.
But it's also, even though Israel is a democracy, it's very difficult often to talk about what Israel wants, because just like Iran, they're both very diverse in terms of political views. I think there's a lot of diversity in that. Iran's probably a bit more ethnically diverse than Israel, but within Israel, you know, there are different factions that want different things. But the Netanyahu government, Netanyahu in particular, has for decades wanted to remove any capacity that Iran has to enrich uranium. And that, for example, is why Israel was always opposed to the United States deal with Iran to limit its enrichment to, I think it was something like 3.67%. That deal Trump withdrew from in, I want to say, 2018, I think. Since that deal, Iran enriched up to 60%. You need to get to 90% to be weapons grade. So they've been for years now within a couple of months of being
flirting with that threshold.
Flirting with that threshold. Now, again, they're still a good ways away from it, but we're really talking about for years now, Iran has been a couple months away from weapons-grade uranium. And they've stopped there, right? That's kind of where they stopped. But this, for Netanyahu, is a legacy issue. It's something that he wants to be part of his issue, is that he removed the potential for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. So that's one piece of it. It's something he's always wanted to do that doesn't really answer the why now. I think another issue, if we want to stick with Netanyahu for just a minute, is Netanyahu is not a particularly popular leader. He was already facing widespread protests 2 years ago when the October 7 attacks happened. And he has been able to use Gaza as a little bit of a diversionary war to kind of maintain his own power. That war's not really popular in Israel right now, right? So that's not particularly working. So I think in that sense, domestically, he needs something that can pull people together. This is more popular than the war in Gaza, right? So domestically, it plays pretty well. So that's one piece of sort of why now. I think another piece of why now is, as I mentioned, Iran's allies are weakened. Hezbollah is weakened, Hamas is weakened, and the states that might otherwise be able to back Iran are also weakened. So that's another piece of it.
Text line is 913-586-7798. If you have any questions for UMKC professor and Dr. Rebecca Best, professor of political science, when we get back, what happens if there is regime change in Iran? What would be next? We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So the Prime Minister in Israel, by the way, Dr. Rebecca Best from UMKC, Professor of Political Science, joins us in studio. She is our go-to when things get out of control in the Middle East. Benjamin Netanyahu has suggested that the assassination of the Iranian Ayatollah would not escalate the war, it would end the war, that a regime change would quickly follow, and that the people of Iran, who, as we were mentioning just moments ago, very cosmopolitan, very middle class, very modern, would rise up and usher in this new era of Iran.
Could we start, Dr. Best, with the people? What would the people really want, or do we even know?
I think it's hard to know. But I will say that I think that Benjamin Netanyahu is not so naive as to believe that if you assassinate the Ayatollah, suddenly there will be a moderate democracy in Iran.
Right.
That's not how externally imposed regime change works. Right.
Well, but he did request permission, as if he needed it, from the United States to assassinate the Ayatollah last week, and that request was denied.
Yeah, no, I think he probably wants to carry out an assassination. I do think, and the defense minister of Israel has also said that one of the aims of Israel in this conflict is to bring down the Iranian regime. But it's not clear what replaces that.
Does that then create a vacuum where something, I would say, more dangerous, but
I think more dangerous.
And fills that void.
Why do you say that? Why do you think it would be more dangerous, whatever follows?
So I think,
how could it get more dangerous?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I think what would be more dangerous is the potential that you have different warlords fighting for control in a country that has the capacity to enrich uranium to weapons grade. And Iran has that capacity. As far as we know, and, you know, this is, I would say that a week ago they were at least a few weeks away from being able to have weapons-grade uranium, so they don't have it right now. Right. But if Iran develops a nuclear weapon, I don't know of any serious experts who are suggesting that Iran wants a nuclear weapon because it wants to fire the nuclear weapon. It wants it for the same reason that Israel has a nuclear weapon. And Israel does have a nuclear weapon. They don't acknowledge it. They have never signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which means that international Atomic Energy Agency inspectors don't have access to Israeli facilities. But the world has known for decades that Israel has a nuclear weapon. Israel doesn't fire that weapon. Iran is not going to fire that weapon. They want it for deterrence. They want it because it puts a check on what the United States or what Israel can do to Iran. It makes the idea of threatening to assassinate the Ayatollah somewhat less thinkable. So I think that is one of the big risks of this conflict right now, is that these strikes, unprovoked strikes on Iran, have signaled to the Iranian regime and to the Iranian public, right, who may not support the regime, but they do want to live in safety and security, has signaled to them that they have to have a nuclear weapon. So I think the real risk of this is they are probably going to develop a nuclear weapon.
But let me challenge you on that just a little bit, if I could.
Yeah.
You said unprovoked. I was watching, I think it was CNN this morning, who said this war did not begin 6 days ago.
Oh, yes, it did not.
This war began 18 months ago when Iran's proxy, Hamas, came over out of Gaza and literally slaughtered more than 1,000 Israelis and took hundreds of them hostage. Many of them ended up dying in captivity. That Israel is yes, responding to the potential threat that Iran is going to quickly develop the capabilities of building a nuclear bomb, but also because of Israel is literally surrounded by Iran proxy organizations, the Houthis in Yemen, far to the south. I get it geographically, but Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, and constantly these, let's call them what they are, terrorist organizations are attacking Israeli cities on the south and in the north. And Israel, to some extent, finally just said, enough is enough, and attacked Iran. I think the argument could be made for that. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, no, I think an argument can be made. Certainly, I think you're absolutely right. This conflict goes back farther. And there have been these little tit-for-tats between between Iran and Israel, certainly between Iran's proxies and Israel. Yeah, I mean, I see that case. I don't see that justifying the type of externally imposed regime, sort of launching a war effectively against Iran. So I would say that feels disproportionate, right? We've seen assassinations by Israel against Iranian figures and by the United States against Iranian figures. That's the kind of, you know, sort of tit for tat that we've been seeing. This goes significantly deeper. This is something that previous administrations have deterred the Israeli government from doing. This administration is unclear whether, you know, at points the administration has said, Marco Rubio has certainly said very clearly right after the strike happened that the United States did not in any way greenlight this. The president, however, has seemed to say that he did greenlight it. So it's really unclear. I think there's a real risk that for the Iranians that they may look at this and think that Trump was saying, you know, we're engaged in talks, we don't want this strike, as a way of providing cover, of making Iran think that a strike wasn't going to be imminent when he knew that one was. I'm not sure that I fully answered your question because I think I forgot part of the question.
No, that's fine.
Can you remind me?
Well, we have to take a quick break. Do you have time for one more quick segment? When we get back, how does this end?
Oh, right, yeah.
And when?
Yeah, and when? Israel has suggested this is not a days or weeks. This is maybe a months-long campaign. We'll continue with Dr. Rebecca Best from UMKC in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So we are visiting with Dr. Rebecca Best from UMKC, professor of political science, our go-to on all things Middle East. Last time we had you in, I believe it was when the United States took out the top Iranian general. I believe it was
Qasem
in Iraq.
Soleimani.
He was in Iraq.
I think that's right.
So we asked before the break, and this is a crystal ball kind of thing. Nobody really knows, let's be honest. But you can certainly make an educated guess. How does this end?
So I think there are a couple of possibilities. One is right now, Iran is firing lots of missiles at Israel, which is using its very advanced interceptor program to take out most of those missiles before they hit their targets. Unfortunately for Israel, but possibly the thing that prevents this from becoming a much broader war is that Israel is using those interceptors faster than it can replace them. So there is a race right now, to see who runs out faster. Does Israel run out of interceptors, or does Iran run out of missiles first? If Israel runs out of interceptors first, Israel may have to back down, and that may be the best route to peace. I think as long as that option is on the table, and as long as the United States has not joined the conflict, then I think Iran will not want to do anything broader than that, because it will recognize that there are a lot of U.S. troops in the Middle East who are vulnerable. The Gulf of Hormuz, attacking that would also hurt U.S. interests. There are a lot of oil tankers attacking that. All of that could hurt U.S. interests. So if Iran starts moving on these other vulnerable targets, particularly those U.S. troops, then that raises the risk that the United States joins the conflict. Then we get probably a broader war. But if the United States doesn't join the conflict, Iran avoids doing anything that would draw it in, and Israel gets to the point where it's nearly out of interceptors, then it may be more open to negotiating. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that the United States joins the conflict. As you mentioned, Scott, the United States has bunker busters, or those MOPs that you mentioned, and it's got the B-2s that are needed to carry those. That is the only way from the air to take out Iran's underground nuclear enrichment facilities. So the United States could join, could send those B-2s and MOPs and try to take out the Iranian enrichment
facilities. Which would force Iran to the table.
It might.
Let me ask you this, though. Why was that not done prior? And when could it have been done? You know, I think a lot of people are asking, like, if this is so dangerous, which it is, and they're marching toward this capability, which they are, why didn't we wipe their program off the map years ago?
I think there are probably a couple of reasons. One is the risk that you don't succeed. And if you try it and you fail, then all you've done is sent Iran the signal that it really, and I think that signal has now been sent and received, that Iran, for its own security, will need a nuclear weapon. Again, this isn't really about whether Iran would fire the weapon or not. I don't know anybody who really thinks that Iran would fire the weapon unless it feels like it's, you know, facing an existential threat. In the same way that we see other countries like India and Pakistan that have these capabilities but don't fire them because—
Russia.
Yeah, because firing a nuclear weapon, unless you have second strike capability, is it's suicide. So that's one reason, is the possibility that you don't succeed. I think another reason is that as bad as the Iranian regime is, and this is a very repressive regime, these are not nice people by any stretch of the imagination. This is an extremely repressive people. It's very violent with its own people. It sponsors terrorists throughout the region. But there is always a risk that if you take out that regime, what comes next is probably conflict between different warlords. It's probably a lot of violence, a lot of death. It's probably people in those cities. Iran has a population of 90 million people. I think, Scott, you mentioned earlier there are about 8 or 9 million who live in Tehran. There are many other cities in Iran that have large populations. You're going to see a lot of people in these cities who don't have food to eat, who don't have clean water. You see a situation that starts to look more like what's happening in Gaza, which
a humanitarian crisis
of massive proportions. But not just a humanitarian crisis, because this risks further destabilizing the rest of the Middle East. This is not just, we don't like this country, let's put them in timeout. And you also can't just install a puppet regime. We've been there, done that when Iran was less developed than it is now. And it didn't work very well then.
What would it fracture Iran? I mean,
it could.
I know that during, beg your pardon, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no.
But during when Saddam Hussein was in power, there was a fear that if Saddam Hussein were to be removed from power, that Iraq might potentially split up into three different countries. And it did not, obviously. But is that a fear, or would that work in the West's advantage if Iran were somehow, if their leadership were to be removed, however that would be, that the country might split up into you know, God knows how many, 5-6 different countries. A lot of people have to keep in mind these Middle Eastern countries, many of them used to be under the administration of the British Empire, and they're sort of haphazardly created. Afghanistan was not really Afghanistan,
right?
Until the countries that control, I believe it was Britain, if I'm not mistaken, at one point left Afghanistan, and then Afghanistan was just created.
Yeah, so it's possible that it could fracture. I don't know exactly how different ethnic groups are spread out. The country is about 51% Persian, but then the other 49% is a lot of different ethnicities. It could fracture. I think regardless, though, having a lot of enriched uranium, and because you can take out those facilities, but I don't know that you're necessarily going to get all of the enriched uranium or all of the sort of knowledge about how to do this, all of the equipment in one go. If that starts falling into the hands of terrorist leaders, warlords, it may not be weapons grade uranium yet, but I bet it could make a hell of a dirty bomb, and I would not want to be in the path of that. So, so I think it's a real risk. I don't think it's a dream scenario to think that you could easily replace the Ayatollah. And again, I would love to see a different, kinder, gentler, more democratic regime in Iran.
But you and I were talking during the break at the bottom of the hour. I'm old enough, you're not, but I'm old enough to remember the Iranian Revolution in 1979. I remember the hostages being taken and then released 400 some days later. And I'm 54 years old, and I can remember a different Iran, or at least when Iran changed. Surely there are people in Iran who are 54 years of age or older who remember what it used to be like.
Yeah.
Isn't there, can't you imagine that there must be a yearning in the older populations of Iran, for a time when, and I'm not saying I'm not even saying that under the Shah it was a perfect country. There was a lot of corruption, as we all know, but a time when they had more freedom, a time when it wasn't so dictatorial. I can only imagine that people who are 55 and older, who remember those times in the 70s, have told their children what it must have been like in the 70s and 60s and late 50s. I can only imagine there's a yearning to get some of that back.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think the problem is figuring out how to get from here to there. And I do think there's a lot of suspicion of externally imposed regime change. I think that there is suspicion of... I think there are probably a lot of people who would like to see democracy, who would like to see a different regime. But I think there's, again, a lot of suspicion about foreign actors trying to impose a regime that is for their benefit rather than for the benefit of the Iranian people. And I think that, you know, it's even if people want, generally speaking, if a lot of regular people kind of want this, I think that doesn't guarantee that you're going to get it, right? Like, how do you...
They have no voice.
Yeah. And how do you coordinate to hold elections? How do you coordinate political parties? Who do you trust when people are running and saying, you know, I'll provide these things that you want, right? I think the revolution was a hopeful one. You know, I don't think that... I think there are a lot of people who participated in the revolution who didn't anticipate that this would be the outcome. And so I think there is potential that one day Iran will see regime change from within. I hope that it will.
God willing.
Yeah. But I don't have a lot of faith that a regime change that is imposed on Iran by its enemies is going to produce a stable government.
Dr. Rebecca Best from UMKC, always appreciate your time and your
so
expertise.
Much.
Thank you for
you.
Coming by.
Thanks for having me.
More in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. We will never give you the score of the Royals game. Because many of you are...
It's Cags 2, everyone else 0.
No, that's not the score. But Cags has just hit, literally within the last minute, his second home run.
We were in here, and I'm doing other things, and I look up, and I go, oh my God, is that the replay? Did he just do it again?
He did.
I went to Twitter. Twitter is just all caps. Some words I cannot say on the radio.
Because they begin with an F.
Because he has done it twice. And keep in mind, they sat him out last night for whatever reason. I don't know. Sometimes you just need a break.
Well, they play 6 games a week. And so give him a break.
So they did.
Game.
They sat him out last night. And then, oh my gosh. Bye-bye.
2 in a row.
Was it a bajillion exit velocity again, Dana? Is that your insight?
He's just so darling. Look at him. They all high-fiving him in the dugout. Who love him.
Who's that cutie to his left?
Okay. That is a Kansas City Royals staff member. I believe that might be the team psychologist. She's amazing.
Well, I'm having mental problems.
Yeah, we know.
I'm just goofing. The NBA Finals, Game 6 is tonight. Q, is this in Oklahoma City? Do we know?
I got nothing for you there. I don't follow basketball.
Nope, here it is. It's in Indianapolis. The Thunder is up 3-2 over the Pacers. If they win tonight, Oklahoma City gets their first ever.
Their first one.
First ever.
That's kind of cool.
NBA title.
You know what else is really cool? Cags hitting 2 home runs in one game.
Okay. You are obsessed with him. Like, obsessed.
We should have looked at the calendar last week and been like, federal holiday, Royals are on.
Here are the top 5 cities or regions in America that people are moving to, and the top 5 cities or regions
Fleeing.
That they're moving from.
Okay, moving to...
I'll give you a hint on one of them. I have considered getting a...
I was going to say South Carolina.
Snowbird house in this city.
Yep.
Greenville, South Carolina is one of the... which I have strongly considered getting a snowbird house when I retire.
Okay. Is somewhere in Colorado on that list?
No, not even close.
Scottsdale?
No, not even close. All south or southeast.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What about like a, what about a Biloxi? Is Mississippi anywhere on that list?
It is not, so I'm going to save you the pain.
Okay.
Dallas-Fort Worth is on the list.
Dallas?
Oh, Dallas is, have you ever been?
Yeah, but it's
beautiful.
So big.
It is large. Beautiful city. Greenville-Spartansburg, South Carolina.
Okay.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
Ocala, Florida.
Ocala, Florida.
And Myrtle Beach, South Carolina / Wilmington, North Carolina.
I told you when we went down to Hilton Head, I said, why are we not all living down here? I loved it.
My aunt and cousins now live in Wilmington, and it's a cute little town, and it's right on the beach, right on the beach.
We're talking about making Hilton Head our one, like every year we just go do that for 3 or 4 days.
Here are the regions or cities that Americans are fleeing.
Okay.
Three of them are in California.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Number one.
Well, insurance, wildfires, sure. All of that.
You live in a desert. You literally started planting trees in a desert. San Francisco. Miami.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long Island, New York.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know that's an island?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's a long island.
If we need to go to break early, I understand.
Go ahead. What's the other one?
Do we have any Tylenol in this house?
I really need some.
No. We need some.
I threw my back out and you have a headache.
Yes. Long Island is an island. That's why they call it Long
right?
Island. And it stretches from Queens
mm-hmm.
and it goes to the east,
yeah.
Basically right off the coast of Connecticut. It's fun a very Long Island. The Great Gatsby takes place on Long Island.
East Egg, West Egg, I'm familiar.
That is correct. And the fifth one, oh my God, is Alaska an island?
No, not on one side.
Did it used to be?
Just on that right side.
Number five is San Diego, California. Jesus, God in heaven. Federal authorities, this is a serious story. But you made me laugh. Federal authorities are trying to figure out who keeps sending anonymously ordered pizzas to U.S. lawmakers at the Capitol.
What pizzas?
They're ordering pizzas and sending them to anonymously to lawmakers at the U.S. Capitol.
Don't eat it.
The mysterious deliveries have authorities worried that they could be intended to send a menacing message.
With pepperoni?
Both Democrats and Republicans are receiving these pizzas.
Yeah, I would never eat any food that is sent to you anonymously. Feels mm-hmm. like we're rolling the dice there a little bit.
All right, quick break for the news. I'm going to get a map out here.
No, we're not.
News is next here on Dana and Parks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network.
Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.